Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Financial 15, the podcast where we answer your financial questions in approximately 15 minutes. My name is Ashley, and with me, as always, is our wealth advisor, Stephen Biddle. Say hi, Stephen.
Hello, everyone.
Now, in our last episode, we started scratching the surface of the financial plan and why it's beneficial to have. There may be opportunities that haven't been introduced or thought of. There may be ways to further minimize taxes on your wealth. There may even be oversights when it comes to estate planning that we might be able to help you solve. Now, a financial plan is a roadmap that leads you down the road of your ideal retirement, and we're here to help plan that map out. So today we're going to touch on one thing that I personally never would have considered when it comes to minimizing tax on your wealth, and that's withdrawing from your RSP early. Now, from the moment I was taught about RSP accounts way back in elementary school, I was always taught to never withdraw from it due to the tax implications. Now, we know any withdrawal counts as income, and depending on whether you're in your high income earning years or not, that could have big tax penalties depending on your bracket. However, we've done a few plans over the last few years for some clients, and I've come to learn that this isn't always the case. And sometimes taking from your RSP before it converts to a RIF is actually a better strategy in the long run. So I'm going to pass the microphone over to Stephen to further explain and give an example or two of where we've helped some of our own clients with this scenario and why it worked for them and why it may not work for others. So Stephen, take it away.
Thanks, Ashley. I guess the best place really to start is thinking about what a RRSP is. It is a tax deferred vehicle, and the ideal world exists is where you put money into the RSP when you're at a high income bracket and you pull it out at a low income bracket. That's ideally what you want to do. You also notice I never said at an age or a time. So let's give you a couple of scenarios. If you have a well-paying job, but you don't have a very good pension or any pension at all, which kind of is most of us nowadays. So while you're working, you're making very good income. So you make contributions into your RSP. And as you know, those contributions are credits, and those credits are applied at your marginal tax rate. So basically in Alberta, anyone making more than, you know, $114,000, it's about 30.5%. If it's over 150, it's 36, and it keeps on going up from there. So that makes sense. Now, let's give you some examples what can happen that a lot of people don't realize or think about. As Ashley said, anything that comes out of an RSP or a RIF is classified as income. But the one thing we have in Canada, even though there is no such thing as a death tax, is when you pass away, all of your RSP or RIF in that year is classified as income. So let's use an example where things have worked out well for you, you contribute a lot of money, and you have $1 million in your RSP or RIF. Great. But the problem is, if you pass away, you are literally going to pay almost 45 or more percent of that money. So $1 million RSP, on an after-tax basis, the day after you pass away, is only maybe worth, you know, 650 or 550, I should say. 550, we'll do real math, not bad math. $550,000. So let's go back to our individual who made very good money, retired at age 60, but the only income they have coming in now is investment income or income in the form of old age security or Canada pension, if they chose to take it. So in other words, they have very low income. This is an ideal period of time to start drawing down that RSP, especially if the RSP has a very large tax liability. So in other words, you know, if it's over $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, right? And another thing to keep in mind with that scenario is if you have a very low level of income, if you take that income from your RSP and delay taking Canada pension or old age security, as we've talked about in previous issues, the old age security and the Canada pension actually grow over time. So, for example, if you took your Canada pension at age 60 it's actually 36% less than if you waited till 65. And if you waited till 70, it's 42% more. So if you have longevity in your family and your health is good, we almost always recommend people to take the Canada Pension, quote unquote, in the form of your RSP or RIF withdrawals. And then that way it automatically grows. There's no risk to that scenario. So getting back to our clients who have large RSPs, we recommend in those clients, and we run plans to make sure this works, but actually take a large chunk out, way more than they need, of their RIFs or RSPs, because then that means they're going to take it out and drop that tax liability, right? So if you have a situation where you have two individuals, you know, you can take quite a bit of money out. And what number do we usually look at? Well, we look at when the old age security gets clawed back. So your OAS gets clawed back once you exceed about $93,000. So getting back to our client who is taking no OAS and no CPP, their income could almost literally be zero. So in that scenario, you take $90,000 out of your RSP for, you know, the husband or the spouse or the partner, and the other partner could do the same thing. And at $90,000, that's really putting you at approximate tax bracket of around 22%. Now you think about that. That is much more attractive than letting the money grow. And on top of it, if you passed away, you're at almost 45%. So what it is, it's a way of bringing down the tax liability while still providing you a level of income that you need, but doing it in a much more tax effective manner. And this has worked for a couple of clients. One client we ran the numbers for, it literally increased their after tax estate valuable by over $450,000. And keep in mind, that's not doing anything other than utilizing tax. So that's a great way of doing it. So that's an example where the financial planning comes in really, really useful. And once again, 99% of our clients are not asking us, do I have enough money to retire? Their big question is, how can I take money out in a more tax efficient manner? Or number two, how can I maximize the value of the estate? So that's a one strategy that is used a lot. And the key to the strategy is you can't start doing it late. Same, I have another example. Client had $1 million RSP. He was 72 years old. He says, shall I start taking more money out? It didn't work, because if you think about it, if you've got the RIF, you're at 72 years old, you're taking out mandatory 5.5%. So that's like $55,000. Already has the OAS and CPP. So that's another. So he's already kind of at $80,000 before it started. And when we ran the numbers, it made no sense. It didn't work, because he was having clawbacks and higher income and it just didn't work. So this is something you want to start looking at and utilizing at a younger age. You know, the example of the clients who had the great advantage by doing it, they're in their early 60s, right? So that's, as you talk about with planning, you can't really do a planning 5 minutes before you need something to happen. Just like buying a house, you can't wake up one morning and say, hey, you know what? Great idea. Let's buy a house tomorrow morning. Have you saved? No, it's not going to work. So does that make sense, Ashley?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I mean, it's like I say, it's something that you're not really taught until you kind of go out and ask professionals the question. Because I mean, I've worked in the bank, Stephen, since I was, oh my God, at least about over a decade. I've worked in the bank for over a decade. And I have to say, I've never been given that option of, oh, hey, you know, you're not earning as much income, let's say between your, you know, 63, let's say you retire and, you know, you don't have to convert your RSP to a RIF until 71 and start taking payments at 72. So I never would have thought that you could, if you have a high RSP account, to just start withdrawing from that and not take from other sources. It just doesn't click in my brain. Do you know what I mean? Just because we've been taught so different.
Yeah, retirement, right? You know, another example that works really well is, once again, for people who have no pensions, their income is going from good to almost non-existent. Mm-hmm. So I had a client a couple of weeks ago, as planning on retiring in the next year, currently making very good income. And we started chatting and said, how much room do you have in your RSP contribution room? And they had quite a bit of room. And I'm saying, just max it out now. And the client's like, why would I want to do that? Then I won't have any money. I'm like, you're missing the point. The point was, you know, this client was making, let's say, north of 150. So they're, you know, marginally 36% tax bracket, and they were literally going to almost no income. So we're like, let's max that out, get that 36% deduction. And then literally, if you put, you know, $25,000 in, you could take it out the day you retire, which would be next year, and you're less than a 25%. So you're literally making 11% just by playing the tax game, right? And it's always about the taxes, because remember, you get the deduction and then it becomes as income. So there's an example where it worked really well. And you ask you another example where you may consider this is, let's say someone was working for many years and they've had a high paying job. And then all of a sudden they take some years off to be with the family. You know, if they're making really, really big income, it might make sense for them to pull some money out of the RSP as an example and put it into a tax-free savings account. Because you could literally pull it out if they have no income, right? If it's a stay-at-home parent, their income is pretty much non-existent, especially if they go past the parental leave.
Right.
And so it's like, why not take some money out, put it into the tax-free savings account, and you're taking it out of the RSP at almost zero. So it's always about the tax game.
For sure.
And I guess, actually, one last thing. Also with the tax game, remember, if you have very low income, it makes no sense to be contributing to an RSP because it's literally a waste of time because you're putting it in a low. And when you pull it out, you're actually be at a higher tax bracket. So that's where if you have very low income, it's just pure TFSA.
Yeah, exactly. Because RSPs really, it's for that sweet, sweet tax deduction when you have a high income year.
Better phrase is it is for the tax deferral. And if you live in the best of all worlds, is you put it in at a high income bracket and you take it out at a high income bracket, right?
Yeah.
But most people's income at retirement will be lower than it is now. And so that's the thing you want to look at. And in some cases, it doesn't make sense, right? Because you have the OAS clawback, you have investment income, you have other income, mm-hmm. and you've already done that, right? It doesn't really work because of the fact that you haven't given yourself enough planning time.
That's right. Which, again, we're going to lead back to it. It's always such a smart thing to speak with your wealth advisor, tax advisor, your financial advisor, whoever might be helping you to manage your wealth, manage your portfolio. It's always a smart idea to chat with them about this kind of stuff because there's so many opportunities that could just be left on the table that you don't know about. Like I had said, this is something that never would have crossed my mind. Now, does that mean it's going to apply to me when I retire? Could be beneficial, could not be beneficial, but that's something that, you know, a few more years down the line is something that myself and my husband are going to have a chat with a professional about because we don't want to leave our retirement to, you know, oh, hopefully we'll have enough money and yeah, everything looks okay. It's all in our savings account, so we should be good.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not a good retirement plan.
Yeah, and your retirement plan, as you mentioned, is something that adjusts and moves along with you, right? You know, to use the analogy, it's a path, right? You know, you hit a fork in the road, you go right or left. If you go right, then what does that do to your plan, right? If you go left, what does that do, right? Each of those things changes. It is not a static plan at all. It's evolving with you and follows you along.
Absolutely. And changes when our lives change.
Yeah, exactly. So many things in life change, right? Some for the good, some for the bad. But no matter what, if you've planned for it, then you should be okay.
That's right. So yeah, so today's little topic, I mean, again, we're keeping it to these 15-minute little intervals so we don't get too in depth with these topics because as we've mentioned, every single client, every single person's situation is different. Yep. Now, this gave just a very brief introduction as to why withdrawing from RSPs early might be beneficial for you. But in order to find out if that is something that's beneficial for you, you really do need to reach out to us to have that conversation so that we can start that plan and start putting all of that together for you, you know, your spouse, your family, if we're planning a whole family legacy and how we're going to leave things behind. That's really a conversation you need to come in and have with our team in order to get us to figure that out for you and help you along. So if there are any questions from today's episode, or you are interested in planning a financial plan for yourself and speaking with our team, you can reach out to me anytime at ashley.nichols@nbpcd.com. You can also call us at the office anytime, speak with me or Stephen, and we'd be happy to start the whole process and getting a plan put together for you.
That's great, Ashley. Just in terms of this idea of pulling it out early, really it's kind of a couple of questions. Is number one, are you going to retire before you have your RIF? So in other words, before age 72 is number one. Number two, were you a high income earner and now at retirement you're going to have a very low income? And number three, do you have a relatively large RSP? By large, I always kind of use a number, you know, north of 500. Why would that be? Let's say the average person takes out, you know, 60, 70 out of their RSP. If you had a $100,000 RSP, it's going to be drained down, right? So let's say larger, you know, $1 million really kind of triggers. So let's have a really good look at this. So $1 million RSP, retiring early and no real other income. That could be the absolute perfect time to look at the strategy.
That's the magic spell or the magic potion.
The secret sauce.
Yeah, the secret sauce. Exactly. All right. Well, excellent. Well, thanks, Stephen, for explaining this a little bit more in depth for us today. I know we had kind of touched on it very briefly in our last episode, so I'm glad we got to go a little bit more in depth today. But as I said, for any client or any individual who's thinking about this kind of strategy, give us a call, contact us anytime, and we'll be happy to start mapping that out for you. Thanks for tuning into the Financial 15, and thanks, Stephen, for taking some time today. And we will be back in another week or so with another 15-minute episode.
Sounds great, Ashley. Thank you.
Thank you.